This morning, as we keep going through Ephesians, I'm looking at a passage in the last part of Ephesians chapter 3. And with our series called No Limits, if anything, this is kind of the No Limits passage. I mean, it connects with everything, but this morning it's all about expectations and what we can expect God to do, a limitless God in our lives. And I was thinking about that whole thing of what our expectations are. And when we move through life, getting what we expected, getting more than we expected, getting less than we expected. I don't know what kind of season you're in right now, but sometimes we're getting less than we expected sometimes. Sometimes we're getting more than we expected in kind of the bad way, in the wrong way kind of thing. I started watching these McDonald's commercials. Well, you know, you can't miss them on TV. And I thought, man, maybe I should try Big Mac again. I haven't had a Big Mac for a very, very long time. So I got myself all up for this, and I went through the drive-thru and got a Big Mac. And, you know, eating it was less than I expected. It just didn't, and then later on it was more than I expected. But, sometimes in life we get surprised. And we get more than expected. And I was thinking about Sam Gagne, this week. Anybody see the Oilers game? No. You don't miss much when you watch the Oilers anyhow. But, oh, no. I missed that. Oh, he's wearing that proud this morning. Sam Gagne, an Edmonton Oiler.
Gagne.
Okay. Spell it. Let's pronounce it right. He was completely bewildered after the game. You heard him in the interviews this on Thursday night after the game, because here's a guy who got 5 goals this season so far, and he scores 4 on one night and 4 assists. He has an 8-point night on Thursday night. I can't imagine in his wildest dreams he would have gone into that night thinking, I'm going to score 8 points. And it says here in the article of TSN, when your name is being mentioned alongside Hall of Famers Wayne Gretzky and Paul Coffey, you know it's been a special night. It's a spectacular night for Sam. Gagne's 8-point game tied the club record held by Gretzky and Coffey. This is what he says. 22-year-old rookie. He says, I didn't think I would ever be mentioned in the same breath as Gretzky or Coffey. He was named first, second, and third star for the night. You never expect to do something like this. And this is what he says. He says, it's a great lesson to never set limits. The great players who played here never did that. It was just one of those games where everything went in, and it was just a great feeling. And, the Oilers need those kind of nights. But sometimes in our lives, we look at things and say, you know what, God, I'd like that. I'd like that in my relationship with you. But sometimes we are so bound by what we expect. You know, it's like they say in sports, it's an old cliche, but if you expect to win or if you expect to lose, you're right. You know, you're going to be right. And this passage really deals with that, what you think about, what you ask for, where you go in your relationship with God. And so I'm going to read that, and then we'll look at it. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That is a great prayer. That is a great prayer. And it's a prayer that I hope we can pray in our lives and say, you know what? There's something more. More than I expected is what can come from this relationship with God. Now, so oftentimes we're so limited because we only see things in the natural. We see things just through our own eyes. We lower our expectations in life because we look at things with this kind of formula in our minds. If you want to throw that next slide up there, it's like what I can do equals, and then we put it in a box right there. We say, this is what I can do. Now, I know there's something good about that. We have to recognize our own personal limits and all that. But so oftentimes, we just kind of bring things into a very small, tight box when we do that. It's pretty limited. You know, as we grow and mature, sometimes we move beyond that. And every sports team knows this, that oftentimes, you've got to think what we can do together equals, and that's a whole nother level. Now, both teams vying for the Super Bowl today are expecting that there's a synergy, a movement, something bigger that can happen as they all work together as a team. But ultimately, and this letter actually is addressed to a group of people. It's like Paul saying, I pray for you all. And he's praying for a church. He's praying for a group of people. But he's saying, what we can do together and with God, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Paul says, I hope you can think it. I hope you can understand it. I hope you can get it. Because this is the stuff of life that really matters. Now, we talk sports, and I love sports, but it was funny. I was watching a little bit of TSN this last week, and one of the reporters was saying, you know, I don't watch the All-Star game or the, you know, Pro Bowl last week because they says it's meaningless. And then the guy goes, but that's just it. All of this is meaningless. The whole sports thing is meaningless. So if you're thinking Super Bowl is meaningless this afternoon, you're fine. That's okay. Because ultimately it is. It's entertainment, and it's just what it is. But when it comes to things that really matter, I think there's something in our hearts that longs for something more. I came across this clip a few years ago. We're going to show a clip of, Peter mentioned Tom Brady, the quarterback for the New England Patriots this afternoon. He's going for his fourth Super Bowl title. This is an interview with 60 Minutes from about 3 or 4 years ago. So I'm not sure what's happened in Tom's life since then, but this is a very intriguing kind of a statement by him here.
In addition to his success on the field and his sex appeal off it, there is also the $60 million 10-year contract to play with the Patriots. It's less money than Peyton Manning and even some journeyman quarterbacks are making, but Brady wanted to leave some money on the table for the Patriots to hire free agents to help them win another Super Bowl.
I used to get $600 dorm checks and go eat Subway and use pizza cards to get my way through college, and eat baked potatoes and make pancakes every night. So I don't think that's ever been a big thing for me. I mean, I'm making more money now than I ever thought I could ever make playing football.
He's turned down multi-million dollar endorsement deals because he didn't think they were right for him. And many of the ones he's taken, he's shared with his teammates.
You guys have to go everywhere with me?
But with all that money, fame, and career accomplishments, we were surprised to hear this from him.
Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is me. I thank God. It's got to be more than this.
What's the answer?
I wish I knew. I love playing football, and I love being the quarterback for this team. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of other parts about me that I'm trying to find.
It's quite an honest statement. And I think oftentimes in our own lives, we kind of look at things and say, you know what, God, I want more. I want more than what I'm experiencing. And God says, I want to fill that for you. And when it comes to things that really matter, for the strength to live our lives the way we want to make it through the kinds of things when life does dish us more than we expect. Paul's saying, I want you to pray for that. And where it's found is in this personal relationship with God, where we really go through life with an ongoing conversation. Not just looking at the here and those around us, but actually looking towards, what, God, do you want to give me? What can you give me? And so Paul is praying this prayer, and it's really a prayer that each one of us can make in our own lives in order to experience more, to experience all that God has in his strength and power. So when you pray, Paul says in verse 16, he says, ask for inner core strength. He says, verse 16, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. You know, there can be so many demonstrations of outward power and, you know, fame and all that sort of thing. But to ultimately have inner strength, Now, sometimes you miss that in people. Sometimes you miss it in yourself. But sometimes you see it. And when you see it, you know it. That a person has this kind of inner strength that is on a whole different kind of level. I think about that, and I, using the sports analogy, but back in the 80s, you know, when they worked out and everything, it was all about the arms and the limbs, you know, did you have the big guns and that sort of thing. You know, as you go to boot camps now, they talk about core strength, like the real strength is like in your core, your abs, you know, that whole thing. And I was thinking, you know, that's really what God's talking about. Something we, on a spiritual level, that we long for is the kind of strength to say, you know what, life might dish me a whole lot more than I expected, but I've got the strength that comes from him. And Paul says, if you pray for it, you will find that for you. You know, another translation of this says that the Spirit gives us according to the riches of his glory. And the reality is that Jesus went back up to glory to his Father in heaven, but he did send the Holy Spirit to live in our lives. And what Paul is talking about is something that it's not necessary for us to work up something. It's actually right there for us. And it's according to his riches. It's in proportion to it. See, if I'm a billionaire and I give you 10 bucks, I've given you out of my riches. But if I'm a billionaire and I give you $1 million, then I've given you according to my riches. That's what God does. He says, you know what? I want to give you in proportion to what I get, to what you need, in proportion to what I have for you. With God, you always get more. I love that, you know, sometimes kids get it more than we do, that kid's song. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. I think that's just amazing. And when we get into that relationship, in that zone with God, it says, you will feel at home in your hearts with God. It says in verse 17, it says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. You'll feel at home, and you'll have roots. You know, all of us are looking for that centeredness in life, and what God is saying is, you know, Jesus, the Holy Spirit isn't just there to take a vacation with us. He's actually there to make his home in our hearts. And as we become aware of that he lives in you, that his permanent residence is in you, it changes things. You know, I'm on a football roll this morning, but Tim Tebow played for the Denver Broncos, big controversial kind of a guy, but took his team to win a bunch of games that nobody expected him to do. He just didn't have the physical skills to do it. But there was something neat about the guy, and he expressed his faith in a way that's individual for him. And you've heard of maybe Tebowing, you know, when he gets down and praying. But what I see in Tim Tebow, at least, you know, from a guy who doesn't really know him, is a guy who is kind of drawing from this inner strength. And again, it was interesting as I was watching this TSN show. They had mics on all the players on the side of the field, and they're picking up, you know, what they're saying to each other and that sort of thing. And all of a sudden, you know, it was flashing to all sorts of teams and all different players. And all of a sudden, it had Tim Tebow, you know, grabbing his helmet and starting to head out to the field. And he's playing in front of millions of people. And he's singing the song, he came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. This is something he was just singing out loud as he's just, you know, running out to the field. And I was thinking, you know, that's kind of drawing from that inner strength. There's a different kind of deal that happens in our lives. And God says, Paul says here, I want you to have roots that grow down. You know, in the plant world, we recognize that the roots have to grow deep. And the point that Paul is making here is that your roots can go deeper and deeper in the love of God. Deeper and deeper in the love of God. He says, you only go as high as you go down deep. Some of us, you know, you go downtown Vancouver and you know that they're going to build this huge, you know, tower, this big skyscraper. And for months, sometimes years, you don't see anything. They're just digging a deep hole. And you can only go as high as you dig down deep. Architects know that. And we know that when it comes to trees as well. They dig down deep roots. Paul says, I want you to do that. Go deep into his love. So he says, I pray that you will have understanding. In verse 18, he says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. He's just saying, you know, whatever distance you think, however great you think, however wide you think it is, it's wider than that. However long you think God's love is, it's longer than that. However high, it's higher than that. It's deeper than that. It's a God who loves us so much that he would create not just a single drop of water, but he makes oceans of waters. He doesn't just create one star, but he makes galaxies. He doesn't just create a single kind of bird. He actually creates thousands of kinds of birds. He doesn't just make a hill. He makes the Rocky Mountains. He doesn't just make the sun. He makes sunsets and sunrises. He's always exceeding our expectations. And God says, if you can look at that and know that I do that because I love you, and then on a personal level, that he not only forgives us sin, but he actually forgives all our sins, that he loves us not just when we're good, but also when we're bad, that he gives us not only the hope of heaven, but he prepares us for the heaven that he is making for all of eternity. That's the kind of love God has for us. Paul says, can you begin to think about that? Can you begin to understand it? May you experience it. And then it says, your life will be full of power. It'll be full. It says, then you'll be made complete in verse 19 with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. God is longing to fulfill, to fill up whatever vacuum there might be in our lives, whatever way we think we're lacking in this area. You know, it's said that nature abhors a vacuum. That's why air moves in or water will automatically flow into an empty space. And in the same way, God says, you know what? I will come and fill you up. Now, positionally, when we enter into a relationship with God, we get all of God in us. But what Paul is saying here is there's a bunch of untapped stuff that you're not getting. And he says, I want you to get that. I want you to get that. I was reading a little bit. I love how black preachers sometimes, you know, make things rhyme and they get into a cadence. And I think out of that comes rap music. But whatever you might think of rap. But I think there's the whole idea of, you know, I was reading this. This black preacher was preaching on the subject. He says, there's no boundaries to his blessing, no fences withholding his faithfulness, no lines drawn separating us from his salvation, no guardrails against his grace, no containers holding his compassion, no restrictions to experiencing his righteousness. God's got it all for us. And Paul just kind of gets lost in this thought. And then it's like, he just says, stand and applause. Stand and applaud. And he finishes with verse 20 to 21. He says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He's saying, us together with God, what can happen? What can he do? Infinitely more. In the Message, this is how he translates it. He says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Paul's saying, you know what? Let's not conveniently confine God to our limits. Let's see him as being so much more than that. So much, there's no boundaries, there's no parameters to him. What he can do. And it's good for us to think about practically, what does that mean for me? How can I pray for more in terms of my expectations? And I've got a couple of models here of prayers that you can just put up there. One is just to part of it is just defining one's present reality and saying, what's the reality of what I'm living in right now? And in our prayers, just going, God, in my strength, I think I can accomplish this. And you put your reality into that. It might be what you're experiencing right now. It might be in your family or with your friends or at your school or at your work. And you just go, you know what, that's what I'm experiencing right now. But I really would like to expect more. I would like to do that. God, what's the more then that you want to give me in this situation? And then the secondary prayer too is just looking at it and saying, God, you know what? In this area, I think I've got this much love to give. And you define your reality. This is where I'm at. But I ask you to be love in this way. And you might think of relationships that you may be in or that you're facing right now. And you just say, you know what, God, I want to plug into your power. in this passage, in the final doxology of it, he says, I want you to, more than what we might ask or think. But I think it starts with an ask. We just start with an ask, and then we go, you know what, God, whatever you want to do, I'm into that. I'm there. And ultimately, what Paul is saying is, you know what we need most power for in our lives is the power to love. The power to love. If we let our roots grow down deep into his love, he says, I've demonstrated my love for you. And that's what we're going to celebrate with communion here in a moment. But this is it. And some of this might go, I'm not sure if this I get this, but part of it is saying, God, can you help me to understand this? And sometimes God will even bypass the heart and will just or the mind and will just experience it on a very deep level. It starts with an ask. It starts by praying these kind of prayers and saying, God, I'm going to do that. Because what Paul's saying is something gets released in our lives and we live on a different level when we go into it with the expectation that, God, you are with me and I'm plugged into you. It made me think about a few weeks ago, we were trying to get the coffee maker going over here, and I know how important that is to all of us, you know, so we don't get the shakes during the message. So we were plugging it in at different spots there, and we have had problems with sometimes the breaker switch going off. And so I was kind of running around with this big, huge coffee pot, right, and it's kind of cumbersome and everything, and plugging it in there. Oh, man, these breakers must all be out. And finally, I looked at it and went, oh, there's a switch on this thing. You ever done that with some kind of appliance? And I think sometimes in our lives, we're running around and we're trying to plug into different things and saying, surely this will give me the power, the strength that I need, or the love that I need. God says, you know what? If you would, just the prayer is like that switch. Is really living in that kind of a prayer. The power to be rooted in his love, to be established in it, to grasp his love, to take hold of it. That's literally what it means. To take hold with the intent of never letting it go. To possess it, to seize this love. To comprehend it. To grasp it. God says, you know what? If you ask, I will do that for you. And ultimately, if you surrender to that love and you say, God, I want that love to fill my heart. I know that that's what life really is about. And I will get more than I expect. That's what faith is. That's what trust is. So I'm going to close with prayer. And then we'll, in an act of belief, and as Peter said, for all those who have invited God's love into their lives, to tap in on that, even through the act of communion this morning. Lord, I just want to thank you that you are a God who can do infinitely more. Infinitely more. And I thank you that truly is there for us. Help us to, by faith, expect it. To live life recognizing there is more than I expected from you. Help us not to just settle or to confine you into a box of some sort. Or just look at our lives as just what I can do or even what we can do. But to really look at all things through the eyes of what you, God, can do in our lives. In your name, amen.